So if you could keep Mrs. Johnson in your prayers, and I know she would appreciate that. Spend a lot of time with the family the last couple of days. And, you know, he was making headway of getting better. It wasn't the cancer that his blood pressure just kept going down. And he had a lot of things going on. So if you could just pray for all of them, just comfort through these, certainly these days. I know they would appreciate that. No details about service yet. A meeting with the family tomorrow. So hopefully by tomorrow we'll know something. But you know, I was talking to Mrs. Johnson, and let me see. On Friday evening, I was up at the hospital, and you know, the doctor just came in and pretty much said, we think you should sign the DNR. It's not going to get any better. And, man, those are tough things to hear and unexpected things to hear. They thought they were going to move him back to ICU and things were going to get better. And so we were praying together, and we just prayed that God would give her peace. And that next Saturday morning, she goes, you know, Pastor, I just have peace in my heart about all this. Man, what a blessing. And because there is a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. We're in a room, her husband is non-responsive. I've been in a lot of hospital rooms. There were more things hooked up to him than I've ever seen before. And she looked at that and she says, I know where he's going. And my only, she's like, I was supposed to go first. And but she is, you know, she'll laugh about things, she'll cry about things. And so you just pray for her and pray for them. And again, we'll certainly over the next number of days have an opportunity for the next period of time, opportunity to minister to them and be a blessing and help. So let's rally, and as we know things and as things come up, may God be glorified in that, and certainly a dear brother will be missed. If you knew Brother Johnson, his laugh was contagious. You just hear him laugh. I'd hear him laughing down the hall, sitting at the chairs, and I hear him laughing. I want to go hear what he's laughing about. And so he was a dear man, and certainly we'll miss him. Open your Bibles up to Romans this morning. We'll pray, and then we'll get into this morning's message. All right, open up to Romans, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your word in a country in which it is free. Lord, we're thankful for that. We're thankful that we can proclaim the gospel with no restrictions. Lord, I pray that as we do that again today, that our hearts and minds would be open and receptive to the leading of your Spirit here. That me as a preacher would be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, you'd protect me from saying things I ought not to. And Lord, if there's things that you want me to say that are not on my paper, Lord, you would just, Lord, touch my heart and mind, please. Lord, I pray that again we would honor and glorify you. I pray for those that might be hurting or discouraged this morning, that God, you'd give them hope and give them joy. Lord, I pray for those that Lord, maybe are wandering a bit, that God, you'd direct their course. Lord, I pray for those that maybe are not saved here today. God, that they would call upon you to save from their sin. Lord, we do love you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we have any golfers in our midst? Anybody golf? We're coming up on springtime. And maybe some of you are looking for your clubs, getting excited. Brother Primer, you're a golfer? All right, good. You try. You hit the ball. All right. And it doesn't always go in the whole in the number of shots you desire, but we got some golfers. Mr. Perrin, I know, likes to golf. And in town, we have the privilege in town of having some of the very nice golf courses. Now, I'm not a golfer, but I can respect and honor the fact that that is a skill sport. I've tried to hit the ball. I've swung as hard as I possibly could, and that little white ball is still looking at me. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what club I pull out of there, it all goes the same distance. Driver, iron, doesn't matter. Say, I need to give you a lesson. No, I have not the time to commit to learn to golf. But in town here, there are some country clubs, fancy country clubs. And to get into those country clubs, there's a waiting list. And not only do you have to wait until someone either doesn't re-up or someone dies, some people even turn over their membership to the next person in their family. That's how exclusive they are. They have a number of members and they're not looking for any more. Not only that, but you have to pay to be part of that, to which I will never be part of. Say, oh, Pastor, you don't know. No, I know some things, and golf country clubs are not my thing. Now, if you're part of a country club, God bless you. May the Lord greatly bless you on the greens Monday through Saturday. All right? But there are exclusive clubs. Some clubs don't even allow ladies to join. Say, oh, I'm just telling you how it is. I'm not running the club. Don't get mad at me. VIP membership. Special parking. I was at the hospital the last couple days. All the best parking spots are reserved. Why is that? Unused reserved. Whole line of them. Exclusive. You're in, you're out. If I walked over to a Locust Hill or Oak Hill Country Club today, and I went up there with my golf clubs, and I could dress the part and look the part, I could look like a golfer. And I walk in, and they say, who are you? I say, my name is Nick Russo. And they say, you're not a member here. Well, I'd like to be. I'm sorry, membership is not open. Man. All the nice mahogany and cherry oak lockers. I don't get to be part of. What makes Amazon so appealing? Well, it has a little something for everybody. Maybe sometimes two or three things. And free shipping in 2 days. That is inclusive. We all have Amazon on our phones, on our computers. We've all purchased something, or at least looked into it somewhat. What makes it so successful? Millions of people every single day participate. Amazon is not exclusive, but inclusive. They want as many people as possible to use them. The Lord. God, in His infinite wisdom, looks at mankind and He says, I want you all. He doesn't set any parameters by which I don't have to wait till someone passes on or says they don't want their membership for me to be able to get in. He uses a word 183 times in your Bible, 110 times in the New Testament alone. And in Romans chapter 10, in verse 13, it says, for whosoever, know what that is? That is inclusive. That means if you can take a breath, you're qualified. There are no parameters on this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone, any person whatsoever. That's the actual definition of the word whosoever. Anyone, any person whatsoever. Short. Where's Maddie? Is Maddie in here? Is she teaching Sunday school? She came up. She's like, Pastor Russo, come here. I said, yeah. She goes, I just want to see how much taller I am than you. Short, tall, rich, poor, man, woman, black, white, brown, yellow, today, green. Doesn't matter. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You understand, though, that's the end verse. To get to that place, we got to go back to Romans chapter 3. Whosoever applies in salvation. We have 3 points this morning. We'll probably go right about time. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that is? That is inclusive. It doesn't say, you know what, Everhart boys are excluded or they're in. No, it's everybody. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all. There's not one person that this verse does not apply to. Say, oh, no, you've never met my grandmother. She is the sweetest lady in the whole entire world. And she, oh my, she doesn't have a evil thing about her. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care how sweet or how kind or how evil or how mean, any of that. The Bible says we are all sinners. Inclusive. Doesn't miss anybody. We get an opportunity to preach in the prison on Thursday nights. You don't have to convince those guys quickly that you're a sinner. They're wearing jumpsuits. The judge has told them that they've done wrong. Man, you go down to Fifth Avenue, you go down to the city of Rochester, you go into Victor. Hey, do you know you've sinned? I have not. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Inclusive. We're all in that group. Look at James chapter 2. I think sometimes we get a false definition of what sin is. I've never killed anybody. I don't cheat on anything. I don't cheat on my taxes. I'm faithful in my home. All of those things. I'm not a sinner. I'm not like them. Some awful things happened this week in New Zealand. People going around shooting people. 50 people, at least 50 people. I don't know what the number now. I'm not, and we go, oh, that's sin, that's ugly. I'm not like that. And we justify ourselves. But you know what James chapter 2 and verse 10 says? For, what's that next word? James 2:10 says, for whosoever, you know what that means? Everybody. For whosoever, for anyone, any person whatsoever, shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Giving you this illustration before, but imagine driving down the road. Right here in Brockport, they are tight on East and West Avenue. I'm just letting you know, be careful. You drive 45 and a 40, you'll get pulled over. So how do you know? There's people here that can testify to such things. And there, you get pulled over. Sir, do you know what you were doing? Ma'am, do you know what you're doing? Yes, I was speeding. I'm sorry. Okay, here's a ticket. You go and stand before the judge, and instead of just speeding, know what it is? It's every single law ever written that you've broken. Say, no, how could... That's what happened with sin. When you break one law, you've broken them all. Because it now moves you from a category into sinner. And that's whosoever. Hey, this morning, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. So what's the problem? I sin. What's the big deal? It's an offense against God. A holy, righteous God. Go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. There's a penalty. There's a cost. Sure, if you go speeding down the road, you know what it's going to cost you? A couple points on your license, maybe. A couple $100. You know what the consequence of sin is? eternal payment. That bill doesn't show up until you take your last breath. And then it never expires. Right around our birthday time, we get excited about checking the mail. Other than that, we don't like the mailbox. Why? Because the only thing that shows up there is bills and credit card applications, which would produce more bills. So it's like the stepping stone to more bills. That's all we get in the mail. Well, we get pamphlets that we don't care anything about. That key is not opening up any car. I did not win. But come around birthday time, man, we get excited about that. We get excited about what someone's thinking about us. We're excited about getting good mail. But most of the time, we just have bills. Bills that are due. One of the problems with being the treasurer is you never feel like it's done. The minute you finish, boom, next month rolls right around. Never get... Sure, you're good today, but tomorrow there's going to be more bills. Do you understand the payment for your sin is going to last for eternity? There's no end. It doesn't expire. It doesn't, hey, if enough people pray for you while you're in hell, you get out. Or here, there's this holding tank that allows you to wait. And if people pay enough money to the church, we can get you into heaven. That's not true. Is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. The payment for your sin is serious. Say, what's the big deal? Oh, it's a big deal. Well, that's not a big deal to me. It's a big deal to God, and He's our judge. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And even in the midst of the whosoever sinned, that's all of us, Christ paid for our sin. Died on the cruel cross. He did so I didn't have to. And then John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that, what's that next word? Whosoever. What does that mean? That means anybody. Anybody, anywhere, anytime. You don't have to get to Jerusalem. You don't have to get to a city. You don't even have to get to the church house. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God says, I'll make a way. Yes, all men are sinners, but I'm going to do something that allows all men to be free from the bondage of their sin. Free from the payment of their sin. What is He going to do? He's going to die on the cross and shed His innocent blood for my sin. To which brings us back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, the way I'm going is leading as a sinner, the way I was going, leading me in a path of destruction and death and sin. But if I repent and turn from my sin, and what does it say? In verse 9. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in my heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's available to all. It's available. Available to every single person. It costs nothing. cost you nothing. We're coming back from Washington. We stopped at a gas station. Man, that bus is a blessing, can I tell you? We only had to stop one time there, one time back to get gas. I think one time throughout. But we didn't have to keep stopping. Which is nice unless you drink a lot of water. But it was nice. So we're coming out of the gas station, right parked in the very first spot. New Tesla. If you're not familiar with the Tesla, it's an electric car. Super neat. Super neat to men, maybe. It was neat to me. How about that? So I'm looking at this guy's car, you know, doing this. He's not in it, you know, don't worry. Well, don't you know he comes out? And then it got a little awkward for a moment. But we start asking about car, and that goes away. Man, I sure would like one of those. How much is it? I don't get one of those. And I sure would love to be saved from my sin. What's it cost? Nothing. It's free. It's a gift. Well, who can get it? I know I'm not qualified. Whosoever. Anybody and everybody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is available to all. Listen to this. But it is necessary for all. Not only is it available, it is necessary. Hey, we could all go today, stop at Cronies, and pick up a pizza for lunch today. Available, but not necessary. Salvation, available and necessary. This isn't a decision you get to pass on. This is a decision that's right in front of your face that you need to decide on. So are you trying to guilt me? No, I'm just trying to let you know that this is serious. That it is necessary that you make this decision. John chapter 14 and verse 1. See, I'm going to try a different way. I'm going to try and work out my own salvation. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. I love the disciples, right? Thomas is like, excuse me, I don't know what you mean. How can we know the way? I feel like the disciples were a lot like me. Not the following and the faith part, but the questions. Verse 6, he's like, all right, Thomas, listen, I am the way, the truth, in the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. It's not being a good person for a number of years. It's not giving money. It's not being part of an association. It's not walking the straight line. It's not a moral code. It's not just being kind. It's not as if I do more good than bad. That's not any of it. Through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Just because the majority of the people aren't doing right doesn't make it right. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Well, my neighbors, they're doing something else, and they seem happy. Their sins are not forgiven. I'm not saying that you all have lost neighbors. I'm just saying don't get caught up with happiness as a mistake of godliness. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, he says. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Is it available? Yes. Is it necessary? Absolutely. There's no other way. I'm gonna try my hand at something else. It's not like a career change. This is the only way. And it is the most important decision you will ever make. Whosoever concerning salvation. Say, Pastor, what happens if I pass on the offer? What are you going to do? I'm not going to do anything. I have no power over your soul. What's God going to do? That's an important question. Doesn't God love everybody? He does. And he sent his son. And he made a way. Therefore, you either take the offer or you miss out. So what happens if I miss out? What happens if I choose not Christ? Does he say anything about that? He most certainly does. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath, what? Everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What does that mean? Am I going to have to sit in the corner in heaven? You won't even see heaven. Say, that's rude. That's mean. I don't think I like that. Sometimes we make the mistake of watching the news. You know, we'll take a nice sunny day and feel like, I can handle the news today. And we watch the news and, man, that was a mistake. Nothing but sadness, nothing but sorrow, nothing but twisting. And I just stay away from it. Not that you bury your head in the sand, but man, be careful. But ever watch all the news or see the news and wonder, where's this going? How's this going to end? What happens to this earth? What happens to the world? What happens to all this? Do the Palestinians and the Israelites ever get together? No. Is there ever world peace? Let's look at Revelation chapter 20. Now, I'm aware that some of these verses are pretty powerful and serious. And I'm not going to shy away from them, but I do want you to... We're going to read the whole chapter of chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. It's not long. And the content is such that it is quite interesting. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. That old serpent, it says, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal about him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. Christ takes a hold of Satan, and he binds him, chains him into the bottomless pit, for 1,000 years. You say, wow, that sounds like a nice 1,000 years. What's going to happen while that's going on? We continue. In verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. It's telling me that Christ is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's what you want to be part of. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Wow, that sounds wonderful. That's what's going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to come down, and he's going to take, this is the second advent. He comes back. He said he's going to come back. He's going to come back, and he's going to take Satan, and he's going to bind him for 1,000 years. And then he's going to rule for 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. After 1,000 years, he's going to be let go. And they shall go out to deceive nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to battle them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. Do you understand what's happening here? Satan's loosed. He's let go. He goes out. He deceives all the world again, and he puts it against Christ, surrounds Christ and his followers. This is Satan against Jesus. The Super Bowl of the Bible. Say, oh man, this is going to be awesome. What's going to happen? How long do they fight for? What's going to happen? Is it going to go back and forth? Do we get to fight? Are we going to have swords in our hand? Do I get to kill a devil or a demon? Do we get to rule? What's going to happen? And the beloved said, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That's it. That's it. There's no like Jesus got hit a couple times and we thought he's out, and all of a sudden his hands start shaking and he all of a sudden gets this power and overcomes it. No. That's it. It's done. See, I thought the devil was a lot more powerful. You've been deceived. Christ is the powerful one. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Done. This is where it's going. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. We ask the question, what happens if I pass on the offer of salvation? And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Do you understand? You cannot work enough to get into heaven. Every single person here fails. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And I'm going to read you a very powerful and a very sad verse in verse 15. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Say, I did good things. Say, I attended church. Say, I gave a lot of money away. If you're not written in the book of life, you're cast in the lake of fire. No, you don't understand. I'm an American. And whosoever was not written in the book of life, whosoever, doesn't matter who your parents are, doesn't matter where you were born, doesn't matter how much money you had or did not have. Say, I've lived an awful life, and it's been sad, and I've had nothing. I've been poor all my life, the poorest of poor. Surely God will have pity upon me and allow me to enter into heaven. And whosoever was not written in the book of life. Whosoever applies to salvation. But it also applies to damnation. You can decline the offer, but one day you will stand before a holy, righteous God and your actions will be judged according to the perfect work of Jesus Christ. And every single one will fail. And it doesn't matter what your last name was, and it doesn't matter what you did, unless you're saved by the blood of Christ and your name gets written down in the book of life, you will be cast in the lake of fire forever. So there is a choice to be made. An obligation on our part for those that are saved to tell the greatest news ever. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here this morning and you are not saved, you don't know 100% for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. Say, well, I think so, unless you know for sure. This is not something we mess around with. This isn't something that we'll just let time work out. The decision is today. And it's clear. It's available and necessary for us all. So many people feel so limited by their past that somehow they've been disqualified from serving the Lord in their life. That they've actually, not that God's given up on them, but they've given up on themselves. I am not qualified to serve the Lord. I am not qualified. But that's not what the Scripture says. Mark chapter 8, our last point. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, also he say unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Say, I've done some. The Bible says, whosoever. The same whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The same whosoever, if you're not found written in the book of life or cast in the lake of fire, same whosoever. Anybody can be a follower of Christ. Not only can you be saved, but anyone can serve the Lord. But it's going to take a change. Look, it says in this, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Say, I want to please God with my life. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Yeah, I've been saved. I trusted Jesus Christ with my eternal soul. But this life is mine. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. And follow him. That's going to take some self-sacrifice. That's going to take some following of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll read you a few verses and then we'll be done. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Just listen, please. You can write them down, maybe look at them later. John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. 1 Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. Say, I've got great aspirations. You don't understand the potential I have. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. Say, I don't know where that's going to take me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Nowhere in the Scriptures do I ever see the sheep leading the shepherd. Nowhere in the Scriptures do I see the disciples leading Christ. We follow Christ. Whosoever will deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. So here this morning, here we are. The whosoevers of the Scripture. The whosoever can be saved. Saved from our sins. Saved from the penalty of our sin. But equally, the whosoevers can be changed. Salvation, damnation, and the transformation. But you can't keep going the way that you've gone. Expect things to be different. You have to make a change. Can I invite you to come and surrender your life to Christ? I haven't been coming here for 25 years. What is God talking to your heart about right now? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. Hey, there's a war inside of every single person. God's way versus my way. This is what I want to do, but this is what God wants to do. Hey, if it's concerning salvation, do you understand what is at stake here? Say, I got years to make that decision. You don't know. I'm telling you, I was standing there with Mrs. Johnson last night, yesterday afternoon, and she said, we just didn't know he was that sick. Nobody knew he was that sick. He's been in the hospital for 4 weeks. 2 weeks over at Park Ridge. Oh, 2+ weeks over at Strong. They were making plans of where they were going to go for walks when he got out. You just don't know. You don't know. If you're not saved here today, in a minute we're going to have an invitation. I invite you to come and allow someone to show you from the Scriptures what it means to be saved. Make that decision today. Maybe you've disqualified yourself from the work of the Lord. I'm just not qualified. Whosoever deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. There's an opportunity. There's no qualifiers there. We've studied the disciples. They weren't anything great. They were just average men and people like you and me. Let's all stand. Whosoever, anyone, any person whatsoever. Allow Christ to transform your life. Why don't you give up on your hopes and dreams and give them over to the Lord? I'm telling you, it will be a better life. It will be the best life. Because you'll be doing what you've actually been created to do. Say, that's scary. I understand. But the peace of God passes all understanding. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come. Come forward. I know it's going to take courage, and I know it might be embarrassing, but come forward. If you don't know for sure, if you were to die today, I don't care how old or how what you are, whatever, if you don't know for sure,